Matthew chapter 7, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 7. We had a wonderful week at the Wilds. Appreciate those of you who prayed for us. And it was a very encouraging week. Got to see some friends. Ray and Joanna came over one of the nights, so we got to spend a few minutes with them as well, and that was a blessing on the week. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. I am skipping verses 13 and 14, for those of you that are paying attention, because 2 weeks from today is one of our evangelistic Sundays, and I wanted to preach this text, 13 and 14, in that service. Next week, I'm in Florida, actually. Our family leaves on Friday. My mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary is next week, and so we're going to celebrate on Saturday with them, and I have the privilege of being there. I don't like to be gone this close together, but I didn't choose when my parents got married, just in case you wondered. Though I told a pastor one day that was visiting our home that I remembered my parents' wedding. That didn't go over real well, but my mom and dad convinced him that I really didn't remember the wedding. But anyway, appreciate your prayers for us. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Do you know there are at least 40 different types of fruit-bearing trees? And that counts citrus as one. Okay? So you can imagine how many varieties that would expand out to. I'm going to be in Florida this week. Florida growers produce several types of citrus, including oranges, grapefruits, and specialty fruits that include temple oranges, tangerines, and tangelos. That's some of that's good eating. The most commonly grown varieties of Florida oranges are navel, Hamlin, pineapple, that's an orange, amber sweet, and Valencia. The fresh orange season typically runs from October through June. The most commonly grown varieties of Florida grapefruit are Ruby Red, Flame, Thompson, Marsh, and Duncan. And these are all different kinds of one fruit. The fresh grapefruit season typically runs from September through June. Florida producers grow a handful of specialty fruits, which are in season from October through April. If you grew up in Florida as I did, you learn to see citrus fruit all over the place. Even someone like myself who grew up in Florida couldn't necessarily tell what kind of citrus tree it was until it began to bloom and fruit. Then you could tell, oh, okay, that's an orange tree. But even that had to have some distinguishing features because there are different types of oranges, and so eventually you could tell what kind of orange it was. Grapefruit, what kind of grapefruit it was. You tell a tree by its fruit. A number of years ago, we were doing a scavenger hunt here at the church for the youth group, and they did a hayride. Brother Art Taylor drove the hayride, and went down Canterbury Road and circled around and came back, and we had given them things to spot along the lines, along the ways. I see some youth workers already smiling. One of the things that I had told them to look for was a banana tree. Nobody got it. None of the youth staff, nor the teenagers, had ever seen a banana tree. It's right in the front yard of one of these people. It didn't have any bananas growing on it. You'd have probably been able to tell it if you had bananas on it, right? Teenagers and youth workers? I hope you would have been able to anyway, right? Jesus starts out with a very stern warning, says, beware. There are people who look good, but are not. And the only way you can really tell the difference is what kind of fruit they bear. This morning, you must beware of false prophets and inspect their fruit. That's what our Lord is telling us to do. Hence the title of the message, Fruit Inspectors. Fruit Inspectors. Let's pray together. Father, help us this morning as we open your word. Much running through the mind this morning, many things that I'd like to say. So, Lord, you guide those thoughts. Speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Number one this morning, the exhortation. He says, beware. Beware. It's an imperative. It means to turn the mind to give attention to take heed. So Jesus is saying, hey, look, don't just go through life without taking some heed, without paying attention to what's happening around you. Because there are people out there who are going to look right, but they're not going to produce the right kind of fruit. Just the other day, I got a phone call, supposedly from Verizon Wireless. And they said, we're doing a survey on how our customer service is, and if you'll answer some simple questions, we'll give you $100 credit on your phone bill. Well, who doesn't want $100 credit on their phone bill, right? So I'm listening, and I answer a couple of questions. And then they said to me, we just need to verify your account with your Social Security number. And I said, you called me. Don't you have the information? Well, I have it in front of me. I said, then you don't need to verify it. You dialed my number. Well, all I need is just that. I said, yeah, you're not getting it. Well, you can't get the $100 credit. I said, that's fine. You're not getting my Social Security number. Another lady called me the other day, and I said, hello? And she said, who is this? And I said, you called me. What do you mean, who is this? You know, sometimes people put on what they're really not. Now, I don't know that this company was a scam, but I have a pretty good suspicion they want my Social Security number that they were a scam. Beware, he says. This word is translated many different ways. Listen, in Matthew 16:6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware. Both pay attention to of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In verse 11 of that same text, verse 11 and 12, how is it that you do not understand that I spake of you not concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So he says, hey, beware. There are people out there who are going to be, they're going to claim to be something that they're really not. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed. That is, they're being aware, they're paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give attendance. Same idea. Pay attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. Pay attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There are people out there of which we need to be aware. Are the people you listen to bearing the right kind of fruit? What kind of fruit are they bearing that you're allowing to in your home and impact you? So the exhortation number two, the errant, he says, beware of false prophets. It's interesting, the word there is pseudo-prophets, would-be prophets, if you will. One who acting the part of a divinely inspired prophet, but he utters falsehoods under the name of divine prophecy. So he's claiming to speak for God. He's not, but that's what he claims. He says here, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're cruel, greedy, destructive men. Robertson's word picture says this, greedy for power, gain, self. It's a tragedy that such men and women reappear through the ages and always find victims. Wolves are more dangerous than dogs and pigs. Wolves are more dangerous than dogs and pigs. Some have called them Christ merchants. Did you think about that word? Christ merchants. They're selling Jesus. That's what they're doing. They're selling him. Matthew Henry says they come in sheep's clothing, in the habit of the prophets, which was plain and coarse and unwrought. They wore a rough garment to deceive, as Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 4 says. Elijah's mantle, the Septuagint called the himalot, a sheepskin mantle. That's one idea, is that they're actually cloaked in what prophets would look like. And a rough garment. And so they come to you looking like a prophet, and so the people would pay attention to him. The other option is that they're dressed in actual sheep clothing, as in they look like a Christian. They're coming from among you, if you will. They look and act the same. Either way, they're appearing to be something they're not. They're appearing to be something they're not. They claim to speak for God, but they actually just are speaking for themselves. You know, folks, we have many people today that are that way. I could spend the next couple of hours warning you of people out there. With the advent of the internet and everything else, there are people out there who claim to speak for God. Let me give you one of these guys. This is a quote from his website. "Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." This saying attributed to Benjamin Franklin has often been quoted, and although I can't personally vouch for its accuracy, it does bear a certain amount of common sense. However, this I do know for a certainty. It is God's will and desire for us to walk in health, prosperity, and wisdom. You'll find this indicated in many places throughout scriptures. And then to go on to certain portions of the book of Proverbs and apply that to material wealth and so forth and so on. Never touching the New Testament. Never touching variety of passage of scripture. It's a good thing Jesus didn't believe in that, didn't he? Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. "And Jesus said to them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Too bad he wasn't right with God. Or else he would have been wealthy, right? I mean, if you follow their philosophy. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, the Apostle Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It's a good thing Apostle Paul wasn't right with God, because if he was, he'd have been healthy. Right? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." Poor people. They served a God that hadn't quite fulfilled everything yet, right? They served a God that couldn't give them what they were supposed to have. If they'd have just been right with him, they'd have probably been okay. That's what they're teaching. That's a false gospel. I want to tell you something. Nowhere in the Word of God does it tell you that if you live for God, you're going to be healthy and wealthy. Never says that. Matter of fact, it does promise you this. "Yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's what it promises you. Never promises that you're going to be all right. I'd like to have some of these bozos talk to Job. See what happens with them. And we could go on. We could talk about the Joel Osteens and the other people who are propagating a false gospel, living in multi-million dollar mansions, while you just send them $10 and they'll pray over it, or $100, or $1,000. We must try everything in the light of God's word. Who's deceiving you? I want you to try everything in the light of God's word. Are you hearing me? That includes what comes from this pulpit. everything are to be charged in light of this book. And whoever's behind this desk that disagrees with this book, he is wrong. So you ought to be checking it. You ought to be saying, is that what God's word says? Number three, the example. It was interesting as we look at a specific church, and I'm just going to take a real quick little bit of detour here. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30, Paul visits the elders of the church at Ephesus for the last time. He says to them, take heed, therefore, take heed, beware, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, Paul says, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So Paul says, when I leave here, there are going to be people from the outside come in, grievous wolves. And Paul says, from amongst the pastoral staff of the elders of the church, from you is going to come people who are going to speak false doctrine. That's why it's important for you to always check against this book. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Paul again tells that church at Ephesus, hey, be careful, be grounded in the word of God. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, our Lord is commending them. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They listened. Now, there were other problems with the church of Ephesus, but they didn't have a problem with this. They were able to identify those false prophets, and God commended them for that. A church that heeds the warning of God will receive the commendation of God. Example, Ephesus was a great example of exposing this kind of false prophets. But let's look at number four, the explanation. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. This word know is a full knowledge. It's complete, to become thoroughly acquainted with. The reason, the way that you can know a prophet is look at the fruit they're bearing. What kind of fruit bearer are they? The word fruit there means a word or an act or a deed or an effect, a result. What are their results? What are they acting like? What's the bearing that they have? You'll be able to tell these people by their fruit. Some thorn bushes have grapes and some thistles have figs. Jesus says here, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? There are some of them that would produce those, but no one gathers that kind of fruit. Thorns and thistles were results of the curse. Genesis 3:18. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. John Butler says, you do not have to have a degree in theology to discern fruit. Discerning fruit is simple. Some discernment requires supernatural help, but not discerning fruit. Most of you can walk up to an apple tree and tell it's an apple tree because it produces apples. Pretty easy. You don't have to have a degree in horticulture to figure that out. Are you a fruit inspector? The people that are impacting your life, those that you're reading after and so forth, what kind of fruit are they producing? Do you have enough discernment to be careful about the books that you read, the messages that you listen to, the internet articles that you automatically assume are true? I hope you do some checking on some of that stuff just regularly. The explanation. But number five, the examination. Spend a little bit of time here this morning. The expositor's Greek New Testament makes this statement. Each tree brings forth answering to its condition. I'll say that again. Each tree brings forth answering to its condition. He says here, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So he says, look, simply put, good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. What their nature is what they're going to produce. They say, okay, Pastor, is this telling me that if I am a good fruit tree, that I'm never going to have any bad fruit? I don't believe that's what it's saying, because we have a lot of other passages of Scripture that do not teach sinless perfection. But the nature of a good tree is to produce good fruit, just like the nature of an apple tree is to produce apples. Now, there may be times when you don't have a great crop out of the apple tree, but can I tell you something? Never will an apple tree produce a grapefruit. It's not in its nature. It can't do it. It's impossible. It's going to produce apples. Now, there are a variety of kinds of apples, and we won't get into all that, but that's the truth. Definitions of some of these words. Good tree, of good constitution, of good nature. That's its very nature. To bring it forth means to perform or to act rightly or to do well. So in other words, it's going to do that which is right. Its constitution is made up that way. Corrupt tree is rotten or putrefied. It's corrupted by one and no longer fit for use. Again, referring to its nature. It produces evil, bad, of a bad condition or nature of fruit. A good tree does not have the power or ability to produce bad fruit. And a bad tree does not have the power or ability to produce good fruit. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The only thing to do with a bad fruit tree is to cut it down and burn it. Now, I'm going to just walk you through some practical things of this morning, all right? Many times we listen to a message, we're in our devotions, maybe we read a book or whatever, and we're convicted about something. Something we realize, okay, that's not right in my life. And many times, what we do then is we pluck off the fruit of whatever it is that's bad in our life. Maybe it was a lie or wrong motive, whatever. We pluck the fruit off of this tree, if you will, okay? And just a few months later, we have the same kind of fruit because we didn't solve the root issue in our lives. So we get a little more radical the next time we're convicted of that, and we actually cut the tree down. All right? But if you cut a tree down, eventually it's going to grow back, most of them. It'll take a little bit longer, but if you cut down an apple tree and it grows back, what kind of fruits are it going to produce? Apples. Why? It's an apple tree. Right? If you want an orange tree, the only way to do that is to dig up the roots and plant an orange tree in its place. That's the only way. Now, this is really important as we look through this passage of Scripture. We're going to identify false prophets by the fruit that they're bearing. But personal application, we can identify in our own lives, what kind of fruit are we bearing? Now, understand, there is a change that takes place at salvation. That changes our very nature. The problem with us is that we still have an old nature, don't we? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to each other. So we still have this flesh growing up in us, and so from time to time we have this tree growing up that's producing all this bad fruit. We got to change the root to change the fruit. Okay? I want you to say that with me. Change the root to change the fruit. Again, change the root to change the fruit. That's really important. You say, well, how do I change the root? Well, the root in your life is that which you think, that which you believe, that which you act upon, okay, about God, about His Word, and about yourself. Okay, so those things you genuinely believe about you, about God, and about His Word, all of it's going to flow out of that. If you're not trusting God, you got a wrong view of God. He's not trustworthy. Now, you may know it that He's trustworthy, but your root system hasn't been changed yet. You got to believe from His Word that He is trustworthy. That means He knows exactly what He's doing in every case. Now, if you don't believe that, you're in trouble in all kinds of ways. Now, most of us don't want to believe that when it comes to certain issues and problems in our life, but we do want to believe it when it comes to our salvation. Why do you get to pick and choose that? Why is it that one particular area that you don't want to trust Him in is okay for you not to trust Him in, but it's not okay for you to not trust Him in salvation? Does it make sense? Either He is trustworthy or He's not. Right? Some of you aren't too sure this morning. But it's true, isn't it? Now, do I always like it? I don't always like it. Do I always like what He asked me to go through? Nope. It's still right. But I don't always like it. There is that moment of change that takes place inside of you at salvation. Those root system changes. But our flesh is not totally eradicated when we get saved. The difference is, before I was saved, I had no ability to produce good fruit. It was impossible. Once I got saved, now I have a new nature. I have a new tree growing inside of me, if you will. Now I have the ability to produce the good fruit if I allow the Word of God to continue to change me. But, boy, I've still got these old sprigs springing up all over the place, you know, of this old man within me that wants to produce the kind of fruit that was the old man's fruit, the selfishness and so forth and so on. So what kind of fruit are you bearing? I've had people make this statement to me. Look, I know he's a bad apple, but he really is a good kid. Can I tell you something? If he's producing consistently bad apples, he's bad. He's bad. The same is true for you. If your nature is consistently producing that which is bad, stop fooling yourself to believe that you're a good fruit tree. Because you're not. You're a bad fruit tree. Because good fruit trees produce good fruit. Now, they don't all produce at the same rate. The Bible tells us some 30, some 60, some 100. There are seasons when it doesn't produce at all. It's being pruned. The Bible talks much about that as well. A vine in John 15 that is producing fruit, but God wants it to produce more fruit. We'll cut it back, but when you cut back a vine, it's not going to produce fruit for a while. And so God may be pruning you, and therefore you don't have the fruit that you'd like right now. But overall, your life should be that which is producing good fruit. Number 6, he emphasizes this at the end of the text. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. I ask you again, what kind of fruit inspector are you? What kind of fruit inspector are you? So you're up on your fruit? Does the Bible give us fruit that should be evident in a person's life who is different? Sure it does. Multiple passages of Scripture. Can I read a couple for you? Thanks. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of love, a genuine self-sacrifice for the good of others. You sacrificing for others? That's a fruit of the Spirit. Joy, a feeling of great pleasure and delight in who God is and in what He has provided. Do you have genuine joy this morning? A feeling of good pleasure and delight in who God is. Just who He is. That alone is enough for us to be joyful. Who our God is. And what He has provided. Even though we may not have everything that we think we want, He has been so abundantly good to us. Even some of you that are going through difficulties right now, from your perspective, it seems like this is not a good thing. But you don't know His perspective. Friday morning, as we finished up the Conference of the Wilds, Brother Matt Herbster gave the last challenge. He spent the first half of his message telling us all the things he learned in his wife's death. It was phenomenal, first half of the session. Well, the whole session was great, but learning to be joyful in that. Julie, his wife that died, said just a few days before she went to be with the Lord, she said, "My time is done. My ministry's done. The impact on my children is done. This is all God wanted me to do." She had five kids under the age of 14. We don't view that as she's done yet, but God did. And Matt said to us, God was good. And I can rejoice in what God chose. That's joy. Peace, a sense of well-being, rest, tranquility, or contentment. Are you content where God has you? Long-suffering. Stability under pressure. Self-control under provocation from people. You're producing the fruit of long-suffering? You don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter. Not when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. A kindness towards others, a reasonableness, a flexibility, goodness, benevolent thoughts and actions towards others, generosity. Not just benevolent thoughts towards others, or actions towards others, but benevolent thoughts towards others. You ever heard someone say, it's a good thing they don't know what I'm thinking? That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Faith, a reliability, a faithfulness, meekness, a willingness to be governed, a willingness to be governed, a submissive attitude toward authority and circumstances. Are you submissive to the circumstances that God has put you in? Well, I don't have a choice. That's not meekness. Temperance, a self-control, especially of one's passions. How's your fruit this morning? Are you producing the kind of fruit that demonstrates a changed life? Can you genuinely say with the children's songs, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. And the things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. And the temper I used to have, I don't have it anymore. And the impatience that I used to have, I don't have it anymore. And the mouth I used to have, I don't have it anymore. Pastor, you could have stopped 5 minutes ago, right? That's where this gets down to where we live. Yes, the primary purpose of the text is telling us, hey, beware of false prophets. Beware. There are people out there who are going to act like something that they're really not, and you are to know how to identify them. And how you identify them is by their fruit. But by application to us, if we can identify them by their fruit, guess what that means about us? We're identifying us by our fruit. Just because someone says there's something doesn't make it so. Just because someone says they're a basketball player doesn't make them a basketball player. Or anything else. And just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't make them a Christian. Jesus says you're going to know them by their fruit. So, what kind of fruit are the people in your life producing that are having an impact on you? And what kind of fruit are you producing? And if you're not, if your life doesn't match this list, maybe you ought to go to Galatians 5, the previous list, which talks about the works of the flesh. And can I tell you something? If your life is primarily in that list and not in the second one, you need to go back and look at your salvation. Because maybe you're just one of these that's talking about it, but there's not really been a change inside of you. What kind of fruit are you producing? Father, thank you for your word this morning. It certainly is a conviction. Or when I look at that list of the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, there are areas in my life that, well, I sure need to continue to change in. Help us to beware, to take heed, to pay attention around us as the false prophets are all around. Not just on the internet, the television, the radio, those certainly are there, but Lord, you warned that sometimes it can come from within the church. We have to be careful. And help us, Lord, to produce the right kind of fruit. In order for us to change the fruit, we have to change the root. May we do some rooting out this morning. Changing some areas in our life, the way we think about God, about His Word, and about ourselves. We need that. We'll thank you for it. Now, your Spirit do the work, Lord, that only He can do as you convict hearts. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me just ask you, what kind of fruit are you producing? Can you point to areas in your life and say, Pastor, I'm not perfect, but I do believe that my general nature is that of producing the right kind of fruit? And if you can't do that, would you let God change you this morning? We'd love to take the Word of God and show you how that change can take place. Stop deceiving yourself. Stop saying you really are a good fruit tree when in essence you never produce good fruit. You consistently produce bad fruit. Check it up. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, there are some areas in my life, though I believe I am consistently producing good fruit in areas, there are some areas where I've allowed an old fleshly fruit tree to pop up, and it keeps producing that wrong kind of fruit in my life. And I need to change the root of that, about what I believe about God, about His Word, about myself. Would you pray for me this morning? I'd love to do that. There's an area I know that needs to change in this fruit bearing. Would you pray for me? Slip up your hand and put it right back down. God, there's an area I know that needs to change. Wonderful. Good. Someone else. I know there's an area that needs to change. Thank you. Others this morning. How many of you would say, Pastor, I've not been very discerning in being aware of those who are teaching. Maybe it's reading books or listening to shows or whatever. And I just need to be more discerning than I have been in the past. Would you pray for me that I'll be able to do that? That I'll check everything with the Word of God. Would you just slip up your hand? I need to be more discerning in some areas. Good. Thank you for that. And then lastly, you'd say, honestly, I am consistently bearing bad fruit. And I've just been deceiving myself. But I'd like to get that changed this morning. Would you pray for me? Love to do that. See, I've been consistently bearing that bad fruit. I'm not sure that I am a good fruit tree at all. Would you pray for me this morning? Love to do that. Anyone like that this morning? Father, thank you for the hearts of your people. We pray now that your Spirit would work in our midst. You know exactly what needs to be done. We pray that you draw them to yourself. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.